our first speaker, Nicole from Magna Iowa.
My name's Nicole and I'm an addict. I truly, truly like to thank God for allowing me to be here anywhere clean. I need to tell y'all, I'm real nervous. I'm shaking in my boots. I woke up hoarse and I said I had two primary goals. I prayed to share a message of hope and not to pass out while I'm doing it. When I got the phone call that somebody had seen something in me and suggested my name, that alone did so much for me. Because it's amazing how when you come around here, you don't know who's watching you. And the person who, like, recommended me, she seen me grow up in this process. I really like to thank the committee for allowing me to come to share my experience, strengths, and hope on this subject. And every time I told somebody the topic I was doing, they was like, that's just for you. And so I got to reminiscing. I need to tell y'all I wrote my speech 2 months ago when they asked me to do it. Changed it every day. Well, I'm going to say that. But for real, I just prayed. I asked God to increase him and decrease me. And I thought about how, you know, what was conquering fear with courage. And I thought about how, like, courage, you can use it in two ways, like a negative and a positive, because I remember when, like, first started using, like, I ain't had that courage to go out there and cry. But you kept making me buy you a pill, so I had to find the courage to go in the hole myself. When the dude I made the God of my understanding, and he kept going on capers, and I wanted to know what was going on. I found the courage to drive the getaway car. I'm talking about coming around here so emotionally, so spiritually drained, not knowing where I was at. I made a decision to come around here not because I really had a problem. I knew I had a problem, but not because I really had a problem. Because he changed his mind and he decided he wanted to get clean. So who was my biggest enabler? He decided to get clean. I had to get clean too. And still fighting with the decision of going into treatment once he decided to go into treatment, the fear of being on the street by myself, I found some courage. I found some courage to like pray for the first time and not even understand my prayer and asking for him to like remove the desire. I didn't know what that was. I heard somebody say it. So I asked him to, like, remove the desire. And I got into treatment a week after he did, and only to find that he was gone. So now fear is setting in again, like, how am I going to do this by myself? And my good thinking said, you can go home. You have an apartment. Get the mat. Do it for 3 days. But it was a power working on me greater than myself, and I stayed. And ever since that day, August 23rd, 2003, I didn't change my mind. I stuck and I stayed. And only through courage was I able to conquer a whole lot of fears. When I came around here with y'all was like looking real good. Y'all was clicked up. Y'all was driving nice cars. Y'all even had jobs. Because by the end of my using, I couldn't work. It was no working in my story at the end. And I came around here, and you know, at treatment, they said go to a meeting, scared to death, fearful of everything, not knowing what to expect. But I found some courage that day, first day home from treatment. And I went to a meeting. And they told me keep coming back. Still fearful of everything, not understanding this process, but I kept coming back. And fearful of everything that y'all was telling me to do, get a sponsor. How do you do that? And I went to my home group and I told them what was going on, and they said, pray. How do you pray? God got me high. God got me hooked on drugs. And then when I finally prayed and asked God to bring a sponsor to my life, like he did, y'all told me get a home group. I did. Fearful of all these unknown people, but only for y'all, for them to embrace me. We got you, Lord sis. The home group was full of men. I liked it. Yeah, they all threw my story. But that wasn't their motive. If anybody had a motive, they didn't bring it to me. They helped raise me. They helped raise me in this process. And they told me to, like, sit at this table. Secretary. Scared to death to sit in front of y'all to secretary. But I did. And then y'all started telling me, do some step work. So I got with my sponsor, not understanding anything about the process, and started doing some step work. And the fear was not so much of, I knew what I had done. I guess it was the remembering part. Like, I knew what I had done. Do I really want that stuff to come to surface? Do I really, I'm so fearful of, like, telling this woman, like, I slept with people, don't remember their names. I remember faces, I don't remember names. Do I really want to get this woman all of me and tell her how my father was never in my life? I had daddy issues, and that's why I have men issues. But I found some courage through prayer, and I learned how to pray. Each step I went through, I learned how to pray. It wasn't hard coming around here admitting that I was an addict. I knew that. You know what I'm saying? I seen the insanity in my life. Driving the getaway cars, copping with every federal and state, Maryland state vehicle from my jobs. Yeah, took them on the strip. Big ass post office truck. So I knew I was practicing some insanity. And then, like, the biggest part for me, the fear came in once again because I needed to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to a God of my understanding. That was probably the hardest step for me. I battled with God. I can do this. I can do this. I can run my life. Every step of the way. And it was only out of fear that I battled with him, because I did not understand where I was going, what was in front of me. And then, like, some peace started coming over me, like when I did my fourth step. You know, putting all of me down on paper. We was talking about writing a fourth step, and I wrote my fourth step because I like to write, you know, and always wanted to be a writer. That was one of my dreams and aspirations, as well as a lawyer. And I had wrote out my manuscript for my sponsor, and she told me, I gave it to her. She said, that ain't for me, that's for you. I was highly insulted. I wanted her to read my work. Oh, man. But coming around here, you know, and growing up and doing some stunt work and growing up and how life starts challenging me. Like, now it's time to get back into working. And fearful because, like, I went from blue and a badge to an orange jumpsuit and flexi cuffs. So now, how am I going to go and tell these people and sit down with these people and tell them that, yeah, I went to the other side? Fearful. I told you in the end, I didn't work. So now I got to go back up in front of these people and, like, sit down for an interview and pray to God. Like, my history don't keep me from moving forward. And I remember my first job, like, once I got clean and came around here. I wasn't rushing to work. I hadn't worked in, like, 2 or 3 years, so I wasn't rushing to work. All that old materialistic stuff I had, I knew coming around here was more than getting a cell phone and a gold chain. I knew that coming in the door because I had that stuff. I pawned it. So I knew coming around here was more than that. You know, and then I had to go here, and I'm so fearful. Like, I haven't worked in so long, and I got to go in here on this interview and talk about me. And I wound up getting the job, and I stayed there for 5 years. And then the job started stressing me out to the point, like, I was having pains in my chest, and I knew the relationship with the job was already over a year before I actually walked out the door. And I kept saying, God, I gotta go. God, I gotta go. And one day I did, without another job. Talking about the fear of, like, not having anything if I walked out the door of the job, but the peace I would find once I left. One day I went to the job. I had taken off like a week, came back. Soon as I came back, one of the managers, she talking all of this old crazy stuff. And I said, okay. I wrote a one sentence letter. My name is Nicole Robinson. I resign. I was so pained up. One thing I learned about, like, gaining some courage, the fear will bring pain. The fear will put me in so many pained up areas of my life. So many relationships. Courage not being able to say, I don't want to do this anymore. Instead, I'd rather sneak out the back door. I leave you, you don't know I left. I'm talking about coming around here and just, like, growing up and not allowing the fear to dictate every part of my life. And sometimes I'll have the healthy fear, but I understand the difference between the healthy and the unhealthy fear. The unhealthy fear will keep me stuck. It will keep me pained up. You know, getting back on my feet, starting to work again and wanting some things in my life. Because, like, now I done been at this job. I've earned some stuff. I've been around here. Like, I'm doing some stuff in this process. And like, I want a car. I'm tired of walking over the Viaduct to catch the 64 to work. So, like, now I'm fearful of how to get a car. Because, for real, I don't have the funds. But now I need the courage to ask people what to do. Or have the courage to put it out there what I'm trying to do. And then you start getting all this feedback. Well, this program got this. This program got that. Okay. Now the fear once again setting in, because now, Nick, it's time to go to another level and finding some courage once again through prayer and talking to my network and my foundation and going after what I wanted. And then sticking and staying once I found that courage to leave that job. Like, I was unemployed for a minute, but I was all right. I was okay. And then, like, after a year, now I want to go back to work, but I'm still fearful because my past. And then they say, go get it expunged because you don't have no convictions. So go get it expunged. And then I'm filling out all these applications, taking all these tasks. I don't know. I'm just doing it. Y'all told me do it, so I did it. So in the meantime, I'm going through these programs, and I start volunteering, and, like, I'm fighting the volunteering thing. Told you, I tend to fight with God. Fighting the volunteering thing, but kept showing up. But no money. That's amazing to me. Like, and not understanding how I was helping some people because I volunteered at a treatment center, not even understanding my presence. And then, like, they said, do you want a job? I'm like, okay. And then another job called 2 months later. And here's the fear kicking back in, because it's the same, like, state of Maryland who fired me years ago, calling me back saying, we want you. And I had discussed with a home group member of mine some years back, and he asked me, like, Nick, would you ever want to be a CO again? I was like, I'd never be able to go back there. Don't you limit your God. And I said, okay. Not knowing I would be right back in a position to get another state job. Now, the fear kicking right back again, because I got to go down here and sit at a panel in front of these suits and ties and talk about me. Well, I won somebody over. Because I'm there. You know, and then I would talk about, I was seeing my sponsor and grand sponsor, they doing some stuff. And you know, you watch the women in your life do some stuff, and like, they start, like, getting houses and homes and stuff. Mind you, I started this program. I was in a subsidized apartment at the end of my using. My mama paid my rent, or my grandmama, whoever. Didn't matter. They paid the rent. $72. I ain't had time. I just didn't. I ain't had time to pay the rent. And like, I got clean and I went back to that apartment. That was my very first apartment I ever had. The very first time I ever lived on my own. And I put it to the atmosphere. I was like, I think I want a house. I just put it out there. I ain't really mean it. Because now, like, this is another level of responsibility. And I need to share with y'all. I always share this because, like, I know I'm not alone in this. Like, I didn't never had to take care of my daughter growing up, even before the disease of addiction took off in my life. And when I got clean, she said, I want to come home with you. And in my mind, I said, why? Because I don't want to be responsible. Fearful. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to mess up. But my child, my 10-year-old child said, we could do this. She helped me raise her. She showed me what she did in the morning. Mommy, this the door I go in at the school building. I said, okay. Still fearful. And, like, now she 20. Wow. So, old never meeting. And fast forward to the house, and I put it out there in the atmosphere like I want a house, not knowing I was setting myself up. Like I said, for my 40th birthday, I'm gonna be in Miami on the beach. I need to tell y'all my 40th birthday that just passed in October. I was running around not spending money on my credit cards, barely getting my hair done. Getting a pedicure was out of the question, because now I'm sacrificing to get this house. Mind you, running on sheer fear and faith, if that's possible. Fear of the unknown once again, and faith that you put me in this position, you're going to see me through, God. And then to sign the papers and still having that fear to get into the house. I need to tell y'all somebody stole the deck or the central air unit out the backyard. I wasn't even in the house probably 2 days. My name probably wasn't even on the paper. And that discouraged me. Fear once again, can I really do this? Am I really capable of having this? Am I really worthy of all that you are giving me? So I'm calling some people, look, this is where I'm at. Everybody's happy. My maid is happy about the house. My daughter, she can show off her house to her friends. And I'm looking at this house like, this is a big ball of debt. But just for the day, I'm okay with it. I don't dwell on it every day. I talked to some people, and living this program and staying clean, that's how I'm embracing my new journey, one day at a time. I came around here so hopeless, so empty, not knowing where I was going, but I found a God in my understanding. And he got my crazy butt. I know he does. He has shown me time and time and time again. I got you, crazy girl. I tell people all the time, I'm the weirdest chick that I know. This program is so awesome. It has taught me how to live one day at a time. It has taught me that fear can either send me out the door or can make me grow up. Having that courage and gaining that courage, you know what I mean? Gotta grow up. I couldn't stay a little girl around here for the rest of my life, because I remember at 3 years clean, I'm a newcomer. 5 years clean, I'm a newcomer. Because I didn't want to grow up. Told y'all I don't want to be responsible. Somebody took care of me all of my life. My grandmother, my mother, the relationships I was in. Somebody else raised my daughter. I didn't have to. And then I came around here and y'all forced me to grow up. I thank God for this process. I thank God for y'all. I thank God for being him all by himself. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Let's thank Nicole for sharing. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Roy H. from Harlem.
Wow. Y'all, I'm an addict. Right. First, I want to thank the young lady for sharing. Definitely want to thank the committee, you know, calling me, you know, asking me to come down and share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, when they first told me, you know, what the topics was, right, you know, I thought it was courage, fear, and vigilance, right? And then I went downstairs and they said it's courage and fear, and I came upstairs and said it's vigilance. And then the lady said, well, like, you know, you first. And I said, well, okay, I'm cool with that. She said, no, you second. I said, it don't matter. Okay. Right. So it really didn't matter, right? But here's the thing, right? Because I was sitting there, right? And when I first came in, the room wasn't like the way it is, right? Then all of a sudden, it started getting, you know, more people, right? And then I sat there and I said to myself, you know, because I like to be honest. I said, I wish you hurry up. You know, I wanted to get into this thing and get out of here, right? And then, my business, right? So then, I got my wife, I got my friends, I got my sponsees, I got people, right? And they all say stuff like, "Boy, you didn't tell us that you were sharing," because I don't do that. I don't tell people, right? So, because I figure, you know, I come in and drop it and break out, and y'all hear about it later. Right. Vigilance is it's a good topic, right? All topics in Rooms and Narcotics Anonymous to me is special, and I came into the rooms in June 1987, right? And I mean, I don't even know if I was at the end of the road. You know, but I knew I was broke, right? I had no more money. I was on 80 milligrams of methadone, right? I was shooting cocaine a little bit, a whole lot, right? I had progressed to putting an inch and a half needle in my groin and no longer get a hit in my arm. So when I got here, it wasn't even trying to figure out whether I was an addict, if I had a problem. I already knew that, right? But what it was is that, was it going to work for me? Right, that was my mind. So, God, right, my higher power, He brought me in just the way I was supposed to, right, and to learn to listen and listen to learn and not talk. You know, two things that I still think I have. It's a plus now. So I have the gift of gab. You know, I can talk, right? Not to share stuff. I'm talking about I can talk, right? And then at one point I used to talk for money, right, in the street. So He brought me in so I wouldn't be able to talk. I need to come in and learn how to listen. And that's how it went. It went from hearing a whole bunch of people tell their stories, right? Learn how to identify and not compare, because I would compare, right? And the thing was, if you didn't shoot dope, right, if you didn't get money, if you didn't have a real bad prison story, you know, if you didn't, you know, you didn't, your mama wasn't down, right? If your family didn't come from the streets and that lifestyle, you know, I thought that, you know, some of the stories was made up, right? And then the other ones that I heard that was real, right? Nobody couldn't tell stories about talking like this, you know, that shit was real. You can't even put that on the wire. You know, motherfucker gotta live that shit. Right. So, you know, I came in, and here's the thing, right, because sometimes I forget when we talk about vigilance. This is called vigilance, is being going through whatever you need to go through no matter what, right? And so when I came in, like I said, I shot, you know, I was shooting cocaine, and in my groin, right, the right leg was kind of swole, right? And my mind, because I'm not a doctor, but my mind told me that it was the blood that was going down and making my leg swell up because it wouldn't come out, right? When you always put, you know, so I'm doing shit like that. But I got an abscess down at the bottom of my leg, right? And at this time, right, in 87, that whole 90-day period, I got a cane, right? I got to go to the hospital daily so they can drain it. I'm making 3-4 meals a day. You know, I can't talk. You know, I got 2 sponsors. I got cassettes because they didn't have CDs and all that. They had the cassettes, right? I found a little 8-track. You know, I'm listening to N.A. I got all the books, you know, and I'm listening to shit, filling my head up with recovery, I'm thinking, right? And there were times it was times where I wanted just stop. You know, like okay, this is cool, but this ain't really cool for me. Right? When you can't sleep at night and your leg is hurting, right? And you got the methadone in the ice box, right? And all you got to do is go drink it. And I'm used to getting $10 and running uptown and coming off and getting me some coke and start the mad cycle all over again. And many days, right? I know you got a girl and I ain't got no girl because at the end of my run, right? 5 years, I don't have no woman because a woman ain't important, right? I ain't trying to, you know, I ain't got no hand. My front is fucked up. I mean, all that. You know what I'm saying? I can't catch. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know if your front ain't fucked. I couldn't even get one of them girls that didn't do the crack thing. I wasn't trying. It wasn't important, right? So, right, you know, so at the end that, you know, I would be in the bathroom and I would be shooting cocaine, right? And she was talking about her mom's, right? And my mom's was my greatest, right? She enabled me. She would go out and work. I'm talking about street work, right? I'm 40-something. My mom was going out street work, right? Her body. Come home in the morning and give me the money so I can go cop, right? So y'all don't know that part, you know? See, y'all don't know that part. That part there is that I would be in the bathroom, and she could never get in the bathroom. I come out the bathroom, man, pants down, blood coming from everywhere. And she said, "You make me sick. I would you just go somewhere and die. Right? You killing me. Can I get $10? Come on." Right. One time, right? You talk about this shit. One time, I shoot this cocaine, right? And I haven't gave her some money maybe weeks ago. I shoot the cocaine, I come out the bedroom, and I say, "Listen, you know, you want to give me that money I gave you?" Right? You know, she said, "What are you talking about?" Right? I said, "I want that money that I gave you, and I'm serious." Right? I'm talking about that look of, then you know I'm getting ready to do something. I would step to my mama like this in. I mean it, I would do something, you don't give me that money. She looked at me, she went under the pillow. She gave me $20. Wasn't none of mine. Right? You're talking about that's how I use. I don't never want to go back to that. Never. Right? So when I came here, you talking about vigilance, it'd be like, okay, you know, okay, I'll do this. Yo, if it meant pick up cups, because I can't sit down. I don't sleep right now. Right? The body sometimes still twitch. Right? But it's 25 years, right? But there's times when I first came that when I came, right, I couldn't sit still. I had to move around, right? I would clean up the whole meeting, 3-4 meetings, right? Make coffee, clean up the coffee while y'all, somebody had to say, "Roy, you need to learn how to sit down and hear the message. Do the coffee, go sit down. Do the coffee, go sit down. Stop cleaning up." You know, right? Yo, but it went like that for a long period of time, right? And so then I'm telling you about, like, with the cane in my leg, right? By the time the sponsor said to me, right, I said, "Listen," he said, "go to the hospital." I said, "Like, I'm all right, you know, because we my mind tell me I could take care of myself, right?" So you got to be in the meeting to get what you need to me. And sometimes you can be among people, right? But God talks to people. And so the white dude, right, he in the meeting, and he talking about the abscess and the gangrene, and they going to cut off the leg. And my sponsor said, "Listen, that message is for you, Roy." Right? Next day, I was at the hospital. Sure, sometimes I got to hear shit, right? So my recovery process has been kind of like, you know, hear shit, then I do shit, right? I hear shit, I marinate the shit, but then sometimes then I'll do shit. You know, with 25 years, I'm telling you, I could tell you a whole bunch of different experiences that I had to be vigilant. But one of them is that the prostate cancer, right? They always tell you to go get a physical, right? When you come in here, because you can see the damage, Roy, that you did to your body, right? So I'm easy to go get HIV tests, right? Don't come back positive. But I go find out again, it ain't positive, right? So I'm cool. You know, that's all right. Go get a physical, the dude said, listen, we need to check your prostate. Said, no, we ain't playing that. I ain't doing that, right? So, you know, so I'm somewhere around, like, you know, I don't know. They probably get it right. I say I must got about 15 years, 17, 18, somewhere around there, right? So I go to the doctor because I think, you know, here I go again. I think it's my stomach, right? But I don't go to the doctor right away. But I go to the doctor and I see black stuff. She say, what's happening? I say, I don't know. I'm seeing black stuff in the stool, blah, blah, blah. She say, listen, we need to take your prostate, right? It's a woman. I said, cool, go ahead, do it. Right? But I'm telling you the truth. Right? So this is what God do. He send people, right? Easy, right? So I step to the plate. I let her do it, right? So she checked the prostate out. She said, you all right? I said, cool. She said, we're going to take a biopsy. You know, we're going to do the thing, right? So she, you know, she clip, right? I'm all right. You know, she come up out of there. I said, okay, cool. You know, right? You know? I don't know where this shit come from, right? Right. So, because sometimes it's, well, you know, anyway, so they check it. They check that in the blood, and then they say, listen, you know, your PSA, right, is real high. Right. You did. Now, had I did this back when they taught me to do it, right, I probably would have caught it. But now I got to do something, right? And when shit like that happens, you know, when you talk about making a decision and being vigilant about doing it, I'm not a person to eat right. Well, I'm very active in the fellowship. Wife don't like that, but I do activities from sun up to sundown, right? You know, 7 days a week, you know, I'm in it. You know, sponsors, activities, it's my service, right? So I don't sleep, I don't eat right, you know, I'm running, right? So I'm saying, I don't got time for this, right? I don't have time for being sick, going to the hospital and getting treated. I don't got time for them to say, listen, we need to give you a shot so we can kill this gestatical level. I'm close, right, baby? Right, I'm close to you. You know, y'all know what I'm saying, right? Right. That kills the muscle so you can't, you know, you can't perform. Right? Oh, y'all quiet now. Right. So now The vigilant part is that the manhood. Why I'm going here? So the manhood is affected, right? My thinking, right, is based on my manhood, right? So it's affected. And vigilant means that, you know, I got to do something about it and not allow it to consume me so I'll be, you know, paralyzed, right? But I can't even talk to the doctor to say what I need to do. Cut me, radiation, implant, but I can't do none of that. Once again, God, right, he puts, she in my life, she stepped right up, say, listen, he don't answer no more questions. He just tell me, I'll tell him. Right? Right? That's how I went. We were sitting there, he said, are you able to live this way? Right? Based on the surgery. He said, listen, we'll be back. You know, he can't talk. Right? So, boom. Tell you. So what happened is that I've been cut. I've been stabbed. I've been hit. Right? I don't want to get cut no more. I don't want my neck to get open. I don't want to get stabbed in my chest. Right? I don't want to do none of that. So, I said, listen, you know, let's do this other thing. But it requires for me to be vigilant going to the hospital every day. Going into a machine, right? Letting them, you know, put me under, right? When they put me under, when I wake up, you know the first thing, she ain't like this. The first thing I ask for, where my teeth at? Right? I say like, yo, where my teeth at, right? Yeah. Right. So I come out, you know what I'm saying? So every shit you got, you know, so because I want to, you know what I'm saying, Claude? I'm trying to talk. I ain't, get my shit, right? Ha ha. Right. So, you know, of course, my image, you know, I'm in the hospital. I can't play that, right? So listen, you know, I said, give me my fronts, right? He gave my, you know, put my teeth in my mouth totally dry. You know, the drugs is in there, right? I'm like this. You know, trying to put my teeth in my mouth, but you know. But the thing was, is that, you know, she must identify. She's laughing like crazy. Right. So anyway, but I got to go to the hospital every day. And she talks about fear when they put you in this machine, right? I know the other side of it is that, you know, you ain't got to come out right. Right? I don't care how good they is, right? And my grand sponsor say, listen, God works through people, the doctors, right? He puts his hands on them so they can do what they need to do for you. You got to believe. You have faith in the program. You know, you be vision about going and you believe that. That's what took me. That's what held me. And I went in there, man, and I don't tell it often. I went in there one time. I was crying because I said, like, no, mm-mm. Shit, it was hard, y'all. It was hard. I was like, no, man, because it's a dark place. Because she ain't there, y'all ain't there, and all I know is I'm going to be punished. But my God is not a punishing God. But my mind tell me, right, my mind, you know, your mind, my mind tells me, like, listen, this is your card, you're going to get it like this. Is it? So when I went in there, right, this machine, right, I come out. So I had to do, I don't know, 50-something treatments, man, right? So I come out. Johnson don't work right no more, right? Yeah. Oh, you know about Johnson, right? You know, don't got the muscles, don't got the muscles. You know, we in prison, we push up, we work out. You know, now when you I'm working out, but there ain't no muscle, cause it's dead, right? So I have to be vigilant about doing what I need to do. And so what I did with the program. You think about going early? No, I would work out anyway. Even though nothing would happen, right? I would do it anyway, you know? And there's times that, you know, she ain't, you know, it's cool. Come in here, we done got through this. There would be times that I would be at the TV with a bunch of sex joints trying to see if the Johnson gonna work. But Johnson don't work, right? The mind, my brain, you know, it ain't happening. But y'all don't see none of that. See, y'all ain't there when this shit is happening, right? But I still come to the meeting. I'm showing up like everything is cool. You know, it's not the image. It's just that even when shit is bad, y'all see me. Y'all see me when shit was great, right? So, you know, but, you know, I don't even know why I'm telling y'all this here. Maybe because I got through it, right? And I shared and somebody need to hear it. But the thing was is that, you know, I said, yo, whatever you need for me to do, I'm going to do it. Right, no matter what, right? And I went through that shit, right? And no, I'm not the man that I used to be. I probably wasn't that man when I first came in. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, on the real side. You know what I'm saying? But on the real side. But you know, oh, okay, I got one with me. You know, right? But yeah, but you know, but here. I can take everything off, and I'm visioning about the program, y'all. I tell y'all the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, because that's how I get help. You know, when my sponsors say, listen, you put more emphasis on the relationship than on your higher power, right? In the midst of that, right? You know, it wasn't so much I was mad at the people, I was mad at me, right? You know, when I went down the highway and they took the correction. I wasn't no correction officer, none of that, you know, because I wasn't that. But I worked in the prison. Right? It's a difference. Right? You know what I'm saying? God, yeah, I love that part. I worked in the prison, but, you know, so anyway, you know, but they didn't take the job. They said, you can't come back because you're a criminal still. Right? You know, they didn't say it like that. They said, we don't trust you. You can't come in right now. Right. So, but you know, the thoughts came in my head, right? And if you got to be vigilant about the program, because if you don't, it would play you out of pocket. And I was riding down the highway, right? And it didn't matter what kind of car it was, or at the moment was it day or night, it was sunny or night. A thought came in like, yo, not that recovery wasn't paying off. I don't want y'all to get that.
Right.
It wasn't that. The mind said, listen, you need to just run into the wall and end it. What they gonna say about you, Roy? Watch how they talk about you, right? And I said, oh shit! I rolled the window down. I said, like, get that shit out of here. Oh, yo, you know, because I practice a program, right? But whatever was gonna happen with that, right? Whatever was gonna happen, I understood it was gonna be by God's grace. Whether I go to jail. Right? Whether he's going to spare my life and let me stay on the street, or whether he was going to turn the whole shit around and have me work at the place that I got. They gave me 5 years probation, and I work at probation. Now, I ain't no probation officer. I just work there. It's a difference. That's a difference. Right. So, you know, the last thing I really want to say, right, not the last, close to it, right, is that, I had a son in recovery. I got a son that's in recovery. I got other kids. I got a son who's in recovery. He's 50, right? He's 50, right? He got, yeah, ooh. But sorry, baby, I ain't on time. 67. But, right. So he's 50, right? But somewhere around when I had like 15 years or somewhere in there, right? I think it was, right? This was God, right? He didn't even know I was his father. Dead, right? He didn't know I was his father, right? And he went down the same path as I did, right? And somewhere along the line, his grandmother, who introduced him to the fellowship, the 12-step fellowship, right? He was going when he was coming up, but he didn't grab it, right? But somewhere when she was dying, she said, listen, this is who your father is, your real father, right? Call him. I just came back down. I'm telling you, God's amazing, man. Y'all think about me. This is why I'm vigilant about the program, right? I'm up at a spiritual retreat, a brother's spiritual retreat, right? I'm coming down. Wifey called me. She said, listen, his nickname then was Punkin. That's right. Don't y'all laugh either. Right? His nickname was Punkin, but his name is Donnie, right? And she said, this guy called. He said, he's your son, right? I said, oh, okay, right. So I came down, I called him. He said, listen, my grandmother told me all about you, right, that you my father, blah, blah, blah. He said, but it's okay. He says, listen, I got a 12-step. You might not know nothing about that. Right? You know, I belong to a fellowship, right? Right? And I'm going to be in Baltimore at this convention. Right? I said, that's what I said. I said, wow. Right? I said, I'll see you there. I took my friends with me. My wife, right? We got there, and me and him went somewhere, and we talked. And I told him the truth, right? Now he was getting ready to get married. He wouldn't let the wedding start till I got there, right? Yo, he come. He spoke at my anniversary in New York, right? He do service, right? He deep into this thing, right? That's God, right? I couldn't have planned that shit. You know, I ain't had nothing. I wouldn't have did none of that, right? But this other son I got, he's 21, right? And I'm going to tell you about the program, right? When you start making decisions that you think it don't pay off, right? And like riding down the highway, and she made a decision to the mother, right? That it was better off checking out of here than continue the process of recovery and living. And he was like 10, 12, 14, right? And His last word or her words would say, listen, don't go be with your father, right? Because he does not love you, right? Right? You better off with me being dead and you be worth more, right? So that's been an uphill, vigilant thing to continue to have that relationship. So he will feel that that's not the truth, right? And, you know, he never seen me drinking drug, y'all know, right? You know, he's connected. He's been to the meetings like, you know, like the kids do, right? But, you know, that's the thing that continue to try to build that relationship visually with him. So he doesn't feel that his father, right? And he know all his sisters and brothers. Oh, I got some other kids, yeah, but, you know, yeah, right? So, you know, my last, my biggest struggle, right? You know, because, listen, you know, I don't have a problem saying this here, right? Because it's the truth. I love my wife. My wife loves me probably more than anybody on the earth, right? That's the truth, right? And I love you, right? Because I say it, but I gotta tell her out loud because I'm not a done product. I'm not justifying, rationalizing, you know, how I live and the things I do. But you know, I told y'all, right? At the end of the road, she's the one that's gonna be there, right? That's the truth. So, you know, if you find somebody, like I found somebody, right, I got to respect, appreciate, and most of all, you know, just love you. I thank God. I thank the fellowship. Thank y'all for letting me share.
The courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Good job.